And welcome back, everybody, to the Steven Talk Soccer Podcast. Back in the booth, back in the building, back in the business, doing what I love to do best. Before I get into the thick of this episode, please do me the kind, lovely favor of leaving a rating and sharing this podcast with whomever you know would love football as much as we do on the Steven Talk Soccer Podcast, so we can make this thing go global. Of course, you know, plenty of football has taken place over the last week. A lot to mention, both in the, you know, of course, in England, in Europe's top five leagues, in England, France, Germany, Spain, but also in the Champions League as well, which, and the Europa League, to be fair, and even the Conference League. But a lot has happened and a lot has taken place. There's quite a lot to mention. I think let's get straight into the thick of the action. We can talk about what happened most recently. That's what I like doing, I think, in this order, and do it in 20 minutes like I do all of my episodes that I do reviews and recaps on. This episode is no different. Let's start straight off with the FA Cup semi-final or quarterfinals, which saw Manchester City play against Newcastle, Chelsea play against Leicester City, Liverpool play against Manchester United, and Coventry play against Wolves. Now, all of these teams have done exceptionally well to get to this point. I think it's quite impressive, you know, the quality of the matches that we saw. I feel like this is some of the best football we've seen in England in a cup competition in some time, where every fixture was just as entertaining as the next one, which is a really good sign. We can start off with the Manchester City versus Newcastle win. I think that's probably the most obvious and expected result, I think, out of all of these games, maybe barring the fact that Chelsea should really be beating Leicester as they did. But overall, all the games were one big mishmash of sheer entertainment and quality. And Manchester City winning 2-0 at home against a Newcastle team that, let's just be honest, have kind of fallen off as of recently. I mean, they have some fantastic players, but it's one of those situations where they haven't been able to build on the success that they've had with their manager. And right now they've kind of stagnated and stayed where they are, where they're a good team, but they can't beat the elite teams in England. And elite, I just mean like in terms of classically good teams that have played in England's top flight over the last 20 years, even the last 10 years, 5 years, such as Manchester City, of course. And, you know, with Bernardo Silva, a player like him who can, again, like I made a whole episode on Foden last episode. You guys can go listen to that, as City had completely romped their United rivals. Bernardo Silva is the same thing. Their United rivals, their City rivals, ironically, but it was United versus City. So they're neighbors or rivals in Manchester United. But the same thing applies for Bernardo Silva, who's also extremely technically gifted. And I think he's probably one of the most underrated players of the last 5, 6, 7 years since he made a move to Manchester from Monaco. But I feel like this game is just a formality. There's not much else to add. I think City are just a ruthless team. I think City will win this competition. And yes, I'm saying this after I've seen the draw. I don't think City are going to relinquish this. I know they have a tie that conflicts with when they play Chelsea, you know, as they're playing Real Madrid. I think 3 days after or 3 days before they have this game. So we'll see how they prioritize that. But no, the City team's really different, and I think this trophy is going to be theirs almost inevitably. I think we're all expecting it, but again, football is full of wild surprises. Speaking of wild surprises, what we did see was a 3-2 win for Coventry City, who no one was expecting it to make it this far in the competition, let alone making it to the semifinals and going to Wembley. Ellis Sims, if you know, you know, Everton legend, was able to get himself on a score sheet twice. Rayan Aitnouri in particular had a very impressive game. I know everyone on social media was raving about him. Aitnouri's been a great player for some time now. I'm surprised people, no bigger clubs have snipped him up or looked to take him on board sooner. And whether a team like United or a team like even like a Chelsea, for example, could definitely have looked into Aitnouri. I think he's such a great player. Has the full athleticism and defensive and even just tactical understanding to be very useful in most matches. And some games, yes, like any player can have off moments, and I've seen them. But overall, he's a very, very good player. Even for his national team, he's still very good. And he showed that in his game for Wolves. I mean, it wasn't enough, because despite his, you know, excellent play, both in the goal for Hugo Bueno's first goal for Wolves and also the goal he scored himself, it wasn't enough to send Wolves through. As, of course, like I'm saying, Ellis Sims and Haji Wright out of nowhere scoring like goals in the last 10, 50 minutes of the match and just taking over the game from minute 80-something until like minute 98, where they scored the winner, or 90 plus 10, whatever it was. But late in the extra time. And Coventry City now will be heading to the semi-final. I don't really know much about Coventry, if I'm being very honest. I don't really follow them very closely. like I do the other teams that are obviously playing in this competition, or are still left and remaining in this competition, rather. But Coventry currently sit in eighth place in the championship and are actually a pretty decent team. They have a record of 15 wins, 12 draws and 10 losses. And they have some good, there's a good vibe, a good aura about them, especially given the fact that they have won their last three matches now, including the one that they just beat Wolves in. And they also have, history of being at Wembley not too long ago. Of course, they lost that game in the championship playoff final, where whoever wins that match goes to play in the Premier League the following season and joins the top two teams of the championship. They played against, Luton, and they lost. Yes, what it was. Yes. And, I think they'll be going to Wembley this time with a bit more, swagger in their step, especially given how they were able to win such dramatic fashion. But I think United, who we'll get to their game in just a second, will also have a good opportunity to go to yet another final. I think this screams Manchester United versus Manchester City FA Cup final, in my opinion. I think that's probably what's going to happen, and that's understandable. That's football. I mean, United for me have not been impressive this season. I'm going to be honest. I know where they sit in the table. Yes, I see that. But for me, stats are not all that matters when it comes to judging a team's success and judging whether a team is playing well or not. The football is much bigger than assuming that, because a team is in a certain position in the table means that they're playing exceptionally well and deserve to be given praise and credit and all that stuff. That's not typically how the game works. And that's definitely not how it works for United, who were able to win 4-3 in what I would consider one of the most outrageously gripping and entertaining and just thrilling and just completely random almost game that I've seen in a while, but very entertaining for sure. For the neutral, you must have been enjoying the game like I was. If you weren't, then I don't know what you have against, matches like this, but it really be an entertaining game for sure. And I feel like United are owed their credit, because I feel like from the early in the match, when they took the lead, it felt like a classic United scenario. They go ahead early in a game, and then all of a sudden, they somehow manage to fluff their lines and lose, which we've seen them do so many times this season, even when they played against Manchester City earlier. Was against City only last weekend in the Premier League. It was the same thing again today against Liverpool. But all of that to say, the match had its twists and turns. Liverpool then did what Liverpool do best. Found a way to get themselves back into the game. Goals from Alexis McAllister and from Mohamed Salah, making it 2-1 going into halftime. Of course, United were probably doomed. Is that true? United rarely go into halftime behind, but I think that's true. They were losing 2-1 at halftime. And they came out and the second half was quite a dull showing until the final 15 minutes, where the game really, really picked up. And it became extremely interesting in the end, I guess I'll get to. But then we start seeing, substitutions being made from Liverpool, which I think really changed the game in United's favor. Of course, then we had an equalizing goal come from Antony in the 87th minute on his weaker right foot, which is something you'd never thought anyone would ever say. But Antony scores with his weaker right foot to make it 2-2. We then head to the final 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. And Marcus Rashford then has the chance to win the match for United and make it 3-2 for United, and literally the last kick of the game, and he puts it just wide. Now, if that doesn't symbolize his United career, I don't know what does. But ironically, Rashford will shut me up only 2 seconds after that. Later on in the second half of extra time, he makes it 3-3 after cancelling out Harvey Elliott's first half of extra time goal, which was a deflected strike, which kind of fell in his favor. And I think to myself, how does Elliott always end up being the one to score these goals? Only the Lord knows, but he just continues to do it over and over again. And yet again, he does it again for Liverpool. But it wasn't to be. As like I said, Rashford then makes it 3-3 after a good pass from Scott McTominay, who I really don't like, but fair play to him. Has a goal and an assist in this game, looking like Cole Palmer, if you know. And that was about it, really, for that. And then Amad Diallo, of course, scoring the late winner, which was, absolute scenes for him, who obviously got sent off a second after taking off his jersey for a second yellow card and being booked, twice in the game. And then all of a sudden having to go down the tunnel as the match is still being played. But fair play to him. Really good finish. Great goal. Great run from Garnacho, who has an engine for light years, given his young, youthful age. And he's able to run, rings around the stadium probably 70 to 80 times without ever getting tired. Shows his stamina and energy. And all of a sudden, we have a 4-3 win for United. In the Chelsea, Leicester game, I score over that quickly. Chelsea did what they do every single game this season, where essentially they play really well in certain moments, play really poorly in certain moments, and have to kind of make it more difficult for themselves than it needs to be. Leicester were terrible on the day, in my opinion. Chelsea should always have won this match. But they made it hard for themselves, like I said, with a terrible own goal from Axel Disasi and a really good finish from Steffi Mavididi, to be fair. But Chelsea's then brought on the substitutes in Carney Chukwuemeka, who, in my opinion, is a very good player. He's underrated. Unfortunately, he's been injured all season, but he's actually quite gifted. And Noni Madueke, who I'm very, very 50-50 on. One week he's good, one week he's bad. Kind of to pick and choose. But the substitutes come on and win the game for Chelsea to make it 4-2. After two early goals from the likes of Mark Cucurella, who scores his first goal for Chelsea, with a really good run from Nicholas Jackson, who again had a very good game. And also a goal from Cole Palmer himself, who's obviously been Chelsea's main talisman of the season. I mean, that's obvious to say. He's just been a brilliant, brilliant player. And that was kind of it for Chelsea, who I think, you know, will be happy to be going into the semi-finals, but not with the most high hopes. Obviously going up against Manchester City, who, to be fair, they haven't lost to this season, but I think that will change in the semi-finals. I think City will win that comfortably. Pep Guardiola is just a master when it comes to these stages of the competition. And even if Chelsea were to beat Manchester City, which is unlikely, they would lose in the finals because the Wembley curse is real for Chelsea, who have lost the last six or seven trips to Wembley in a final, which is insane. So hopefully for Chelsea fans' sake, like myself, hopefully we lose because I don't want the pain of a final again. I can't take it anymore. But that's my take on the FA Cup. Let's move on now to what happened in the Champions League and the Europa League. Of course, we can start up with Inter versus Atletico Madrid. Now, that game was absolutely crazy. A mad, mad game of football. Like, genuinely, like, you know, heart on ice. Like, you gotta bring out all types of medical equipment, the defibrillator, you know, you need to get an asthma. So what's that thing they use for asthma? What's it called? You need to get the puffer, you need to get all of that, you need to get the EpiPen out. Like, the game was just absolutely insane, this match. It really was. And I think, in my opinion, it's the best game I've seen in the Champions League all season. I think it was so entertaining and had everything you're looking for as a Champions League fan. You know, you want to see the best team play each other and have a real battle. And I think it was two teams that love counterattacking each other and love, you know, defending in deep blocks and being able to be resolute and kind of keep their shape for the majority of the game without kind of opening up too much, but being killer when they had their chances to score. I think both teams showed that in their moments, especially Inter early in the game, where they obviously took the lead through Don DeMarco, as I call him, Federico DeMarco, with a really good build-up, to be fair. But then I was talking to my boy Julian, shout out Julian, and he was literally saying to me, like, I was watching the game with him, he was like, yo, like, trust me, once Inter score, Atletico are going to have to come out, and they're going to come out of their shell. And then next thing you know, like maybe 2 minutes later, Antoine Griezmann equalizes, makes it 1-1 in the game, 2-1 on aggregate in Inter's favor. But then Memphis Depay, for me, is the main name I have to mention. Memphis. I mean, the guy from Tennessee, like, he absolutely cooked in this game. He came on and, you know, showed his light skin prowess. You know, look at him with his nice new hairstyle, his two new tattoos, the classic Memphis build. If you know, you know. Like, just looking like him, you know, looking like a superhero almost. And I'm thinking, okay, Depay, like, I know you, do you think you're like, you know, you're like the Michael B. Jordan of soccer, but if you are, then go show us. And he went on and had a really good performance. I think Memphis Depay performed exceptionally well. I think he had a really good game. Not only the goal that he scored to equalize in the end for Atletico Madrid, but also just his overall performance was excellent. Showed Morata the levels, who I think is a terrible striker, Morata. I don't know how he keeps stealing a living playing for such big clubs in Europe, but that's a different conversation for a different day. But really good game from Depay, who came on and changed the game for Atletico. Same thing with Angel Correa, who I thought is also just he's an Atletico legend. He's been there forever. He knows the team in the league very, very well. He knows the Simeone ball. He knows Champions League football very well. He just knows how to be. He's played in big moments in with his international team. He's just an experienced footballer, and you can see it in his game. And it showed. Even Griezmann, who set up a really good chance for Rodrigo Riquelme to score and win it in the last minute of the match to make it 3-2 and send Atletico through. He missed it, and then ironically, just like United against Liverpool today, that didn't end up mattering because both teams ended up going through. United in the FA Cup and now Atletico in the Champions League, but. It was funny to see because I thought, you know, if they miss that chance, Atletico, they're going to end up regretting it. There was chances for Inter in the game too, even before Depay had equalized, and that would have sent Inter on the way with Marcus Thuram missing what I consider a huge sitter, a huge one-on-one opportunity that you have to at least be testing the goalkeeper from, but he didn't even get it on target. And then the same thing with with Barella, who just kicked the ball tamely at All Blacks' hands, which was a shame because you'd expect a lot better from him in a very, very, you know, close quarter situation. Then he's a good player. He's a good, not the best of finishers, but he has that a good finish in his locker, is what I'm thinking. But that was kind of the main Champions League highlight I want to mention. Of course, we saw the likes of Dortmund beating PSV in a very comfortable fashion in 3-1 on aggregate, or, you know, over the whole both legs. Saw Mbappe destroy Real Sociedad. I mean, Mbappe is just Mbappe. That's what he does. That classic Mbappe finish that we all know what I'm thinking of when I say that. When he goes onto his right foot, looks at the keeper's left side, and then cuts it back to shoot at the keeper's near post. He's done that a countless amount of times and was able to hit the Sociedad keeper with that instinctive finish countless times or multiple times in this tie. But again, PSG were never going to lose that. And then, of course, Barca versus Napoli, which was a very, very good game, I thought, especially the first leg. But Barca ripped Napoli to shreds in the second leg, thanks to the likes of Lamine Yamal, the youngster, who's, you know, still has exams and, you know, he still has bedtime to go and tend to. Doesn't matter. He plays a brilliant match of football and shows the levels of, despite his age, it's just a number, because his level of gameplay and awareness and skill and even just like understanding of at such a young age and knowing how to read the game states and knowing how to understand, you know, what requires what in what moment of a match. Really good at reading that. It's classic La Masia product. Same thing with Pau Cubarsi, who came on for his, I think it was his Champions League debut or something like that. And again, got called up for the Spanish national team as well for the internationals coming up very soon. But it just shows you what I'm telling you when I say that, you know, this Barca team have quality, and I don't think they're going to win the Champions League. Let's keep it real. But it was a good win for them against Napoli over two legs. Show the quality they still possess in their team, especially with Lewandowski and Rafinha and João Felix and all these guys. So they're still there, you know, but it's not the same Barca that I remember, or many of us will remember from many years ago. But again, I won't disrespect them. They're playing a big tie against PSG. Let's see what they can do. Same thing with Arsenal, who narrowly beat Porto as they got a 1-0 win at home, which then had sent them to penalties and extra time and penalties, as the 1-0 win in terms of winning, or 1-0 scoreline, should I say, made it a 1-1 on aggregate across the two legs, which sent them to penalties. Of course, then which Arsenal won, thanks to great saves from David Raya. Same thing with Munich versus Lazio. It was not penalties, but it was a poor showing from Bayern Munich in the first leg. But in the second leg at home, Bayern Munich took care of business and scored some really good goals. Jamal Musiala being an absolute monster in that match, showing the levels. Bayern will be playing against Arsenal in the next round of the Champions League, ironically. You know what that means next for Arsenal fans. Kind of a good way for me to mix in what I said at the end of my last episode. And then we had Madrid versus Leipzig. Leipzig probably should have beat Madrid over two legs, in my opinion. But if Openda could score a goal, then they would be Leipzig versus City and not Madrid versus City. But at least now for City, they have a formidable opponent to come up against. City, who destroyed Copenhagen. That wasn't even a tie. That felt like a group stage game happening twice. And that's why, you know, City are where they are in the Champions League. Now, for my prediction to this, I think Bayern will go through narrowly. I think, I honestly, Madrid and City could go either way. I'm going to back Real Madrid to win. I really am. I think Madrid just have the quality and the experience. Although City have beaten Madrid well in the last couple of years in the Champions League. But I think Madrid just have that La Grinta, as my Mori Salim would say. I think that will come back out and show again. Every time you see Madrid City, Madrid always show the levels. I think it will happen again. Especially because I think Madrid will be playing at home second, which will really, really favor them. And I think that will help them to go through in this tie. And then the same thing with Atletico Madrid Dortmund. I think Atletico Madrid will win that, probably convincingly. I think Dortmund are a good team, but I think Atletico Madrid are like the antidote to Dortmund's football, so I think they'll be able to capitalize. Same thing with PSG Barca. I mean, that could be really going either way. It really could be. I think that would be a really, really good tie, actually. But I think Mbappe will just be too much for Barca to handle, and will kind of dominate them and force them to defend more than they want to. I think Mbappe will be clinical, as we know he always is, especially wanting to win a Champions League title, which is only ambition, because La Liga is a waste of time. So that's my prediction on the ties for now. And then in terms of the other football that we've seen, of course, we saw Leverkusen scoring three late goals after being pegged back, I think 2-0 against Karabag, and Patrick Schick scoring twice, and then twice in the 90th minute and plus stoppage time, and scoring a crazy last minute header. to send them through. And it just, it's classic Leverkusen. They did it again today against Freiburg as they won 3-2 again. I mean, this Leverkusen team is unbeaten still, remaining at this point. We're in March and they're still unbeaten. They haven't lost a single game this season, which is insane to say. Hopefully they can keep it going. I love the fact that they're doing this. It makes football so much more interesting, in my opinion, because teams always, obviously, you know, by virtue of being a team, you're going to lose some matches. But for Leverkusen, that's not been the case. And it's been quite cool to see what they've been able to, you know, to keep up with. Liverpool obviously gone through there. Milan and Roma have also gone through. They play each other. Liverpool will be playing against Atalanta. Leverkusen will be playing against West Ham. And I believe, I don't remember the last Europa League. The last Europa League tie is Marseille versus Benfica. So, I mean, that will also be an interesting tie as well. And then in the Premier League, we saw Luton fumble the bag against Bournemouth and then pick up a narrow draw in a 1-1 draw against Nottingham Forest. We saw West Ham and Aston Villa draw just today as well. We saw Tottenham lose 3-0, which is always a good time for me. I love seeing Spurs do that. It makes me super happy to see. So Spurs also lost as well, which is extremely funny in my opinion. But that's kind of the most of what I want to mention, I think, for now. I mean, Lautaro Martinez missing that penalty for Inter is truly, truly shameful. I didn't even mention that. I must have skipped that over. I'm saying so much so quickly. The 20 minutes really makes me feel like I got to keep it close and tight. I guess we'll go to 25 for once. But Lautaro Martinez missing that penalty in the penalty shootout was absolutely insane. I should have mentioned the fact that once Depay had scored an equalizer, it sent the game to extra time and then penalties, of which Atletico Madrid were exceptional on. They had a really good penalty taking record going into this match, I think. And they just have more experience with it more recently than Inter are, who last took a penalty shootout in the Champions League in 1998, I think, or 1997, which is insane to think of. But then you had the likes of Jan Sommer and Net, who's a great, great penalty kick shot stopper. And same thing with Jan Oblak, but it didn't matter because, you know, Davy Klaassen just decided to play for Atletico Madrid and missed the penalty for Inter. Same thing with Lautaro Martinez, the captain of Inter, who missed two big penalties now, or two big moments, you could say, one in the World Cup and then again in the Champions League here as well. We expect your leader to come big for you. He ended up fumbling the bag. Not like it would have mattered, because I think Atletico would have won anyways, but it's just poor that he completely shanked the penalty the way he did. It's just, I watched it yesterday. It gets worse every time I've seen it. And I forget who missed Alexis Sanchez. He missed the last penalty as well, which was insane, but Sanchez needs to retire, in my opinion. Go back to playing in South America. You're not that guy anymore, my guy. You were great in the Premier League, even great for Barca, but I think the time is finished. Not just because of this miss, but just in general. Go play for a team that wants to play you on a week-to-week basis. And that's kind of my take on that overall. Anything else to mention on top of my head? No, but I'm looking forward for this little break, I guess. You know, I'll be making more content for sure. I'll have some new people onto the podcast. We'll talk more footy, get their opinions of what's going on in the world of soccer as we know it. But for now, it's been your boy, The Don. Thank you guys for listening, as always. I'll be back again very, very soon, like I said. But please make sure to leave a rating on the Steven Talk Soccer podcast. Give it a 5-star if you're loving what you're hearing. And make sure to share it with everyone else you know that loves football as much as we do on the Steven Talk Soccer podcast. But for now, it's been me. You know who it is. Deuces. Hey, everyone. Are you enjoying the content? Please be sure to leave a rating and a review and to check out my other episodes. If you're looking for more Steven Talk Soccer content, you can find me at STS Pod on Instagram, at Steve O Talks Footy on Twitter, and at Steven Talk Soccer on TikTok. Become a consistent starter in the STS squad.